Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 17th of November, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. And with me today, I have the CEO of iFixit, Kyle Weens. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you're here. I have so many questions, and I hope that I'm going to cover everything that our listeners want to know about. First up, the reason that you're here is because just this morning, Apple put out a press release about self-service repair. And at least to start, they're only talking about having some things available that will help a user and not necessarily, you know, so that you don't have to take it to an Apple store anymore, but a person can go and order official parts and do some official repairing on an iPhone 12 and an iPhone 13.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This is the first time that Apple has said, hey, you can work on your iPhone, which is kind of funny to us at iFixit, because since the original iPhone, we've been helping people open them up and do repairs. We've helped millions and millions and millions of Apple's customers do it. But Apple has always kind of pretended like that didn't exist, and we weren't helping their customers.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, iFixit.com is an amazing resource for technology. Like, it's not just Apple stuff. You all have the awesome how-to guide that helped me fix the Joy-Con drift in my Nintendo Switch. I bought the now driftless joystick from you all to put in there. I have screwdrivers from you guys because I've replaced lots of stuff in lots of machines over the years. Huge fan. But you have, like, basically, if you can plug a USB cable into it, you all have a guide somewhere on your website for how to pull the whole thing apart, which things are easy to repair, and then how to put it all back together again.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're the largest centralized repair manual in the history of the world. We've got guides for fixing everything from, a Teddy Ruxpin to an iPhone. We're totally comprehensive with every Apple product they've made since 98. We go all the way back to the PowerBook G3 Wall Street, and I think even a smattering of products before that. But we're totally comprehensive since 98.
Yeah,
I do. And our goal is to make it so easy to fix things that maybe you choose to repair something instead of buying a new one.
Yeah. And I know I personally have helped a whole bunch of people extend the life on that because I bought one of your really nice screwdriver sets. And actually, I have a larger one, but I also have a set, a small screwdriver set that you gave me when we chatted at Macworld back in 2000.
Whenever there was a Macworld. You know, we should host a conference for Mac people sometime.
That would be awesome.
It could be like every year at the Moscone Center. Wouldn't that be cool?
Every year at the Moscone. I like that. I went to a different conference there that was not Macworld one time. And I was like, this isn't right. None of this is what's supposed to be here. I don't know how this works.
Well, so Paul Kent, who organized Maker Faire, I'm in San Luis Obispo, California, South of San Francisco, good ways. Paul just moved into town, and so we've been hanging out. I've been chatting.
Oh, no.
He's like, yeah, we need to get this going again.
That explains it. Yeah, sign me up, and we will definitely, I'll let you all know here. We'll have Kyle back to talk about the there conference once we get it all put together. And Paul used to come talk to me at 2A, like the Sunday after Macworld was over, when most people who were at Macworld were still on planes trying to get home. he would come talk to me about how it went and everything. So yeah, it'll be fun.
This just shows we're all OG Mac people.
It does. I would really like to attend that conference. Honestly, it's a lot of fun. So mostly what I wanted to talk to you about is, first of all, one of the, like, a lot of the conversation around this, I'll say, there has been a lot of jubilation where people have said, I'm really excited. Apple has finally embraced the right to repair movement. And then there's been sort of the counterpoint of that, which is not so much. Like, Apple is really, like, they don't believe it. They're just sort of doing this so some impending lawsuit or some impending regulation or some impending legislation or something, it doesn't end up like getting them in trouble because they can point to this and go, but look, we do this thing. So yes, we're obviously right to repair. And it feels like this might be sort of in the middle. Like when I look at it, like it's better. It's not nothing. It's nice that they finally actually do this. Part of what I liked about it was that not necessarily that you have to buy from all of the parts from Apple, which is what it sounds like, but also they will let you return the used part and then it gets recycled and you can get credit for your purchase. Sort of like some auto part stuff. Like, I don't remember what the thing was we replaced in my car once, but like I took it back and got like half the money that I had paid for the original one. Yeah. So yeah. Something like that. Like, I think like I like that there's at least the recycling piece of this that goes along with sort of finishing that transaction. How does this come across to iFixit?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I mean, we started iFixit because I was trying to fix my iBook and I couldn't find the service manual. And I knew Apple had service manuals, and when I kept finding like the sort of ghosts of these service manuals online, where it was clear that it was on a website and that they'd gotten a takedown and that they'd removed it.
And that's how you knew it was accurate in the old days.
So I fixed it sort of the hard way. And then afterwards, I was like, this was way more difficult than it needed to be. And so I went ahead and wrote a new service manual for it. And we put it online. And that's how iFixit began. But it turned out that the reason the service manual was taken offline was Apple had their legal team sending takedown letters to anyone who posted these service manuals online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Apple. Lots of companies do it. So we're going from a world where like Apple has basically had mercenaries going out hunting this information down and killing it to now they're saying they're going to willingly make that available. And that's a huge change. And that's a change that we've been advocating for on the iFixit side for at least 18 years, trying to get them to shift. And so, I mean, we're thrilled that they are publicly committing that they want to change. We're, you know, obviously frustrated it took 18 years. But here we are.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things I noticed in here was there are some specific things, like there's going to be the Apple self-service repair online store there. But then they like some of it's very specific like that. And then following the repair, you can return the used part and you'll get credit back for it, like I said. But then they say, like, enabling customers to complete the most common repairs on iPhone 12 and iPhone 13. So what would that be? Like, if you were, I feel like you probably have a pretty good idea what most people need repaired. It feels like screen replacement is going to be one of the things that people can do themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the product. You know, so we rate things from 1 to 10, you know, with how easy or hard they are to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPhone has gotten around a 6. So there's some glue that you have to deal with, but it's manageable.
Okay.
And, you know, I tell people, if you're not sure if you can do a repair, go on iFixit, look at the step-by-step guide, and then see if it's something you feel confident doing.
Yes.
And soon Apple will have their repair manuals online, and we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how they compare to ours.
I never thought about the Pepsi challenge against the iFixit manuals, but yeah.
Which one is better? You know, we're really proud of our manuals. I hope Apple's are even better and they, you know, encourage us to level up. But the hardest thing, so you need some specialized tools. To get into an iPhone, one is you need a suction cup because there's glass you have to pry on.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you need a special Pentalobe screwdriver.
Yes.
That historically, Apple has not sold. And so folks like iFixit have been your only options to get those screwdrivers.
Yes, I have a couple of them myself, as a matter of fact.
But you can't. I was going to say you can't go down to Home Depot and buy those screwdrivers, but actually you can buy iFixit tools in Home Depot now. So
hey,
you can.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, everyone who has a Christmas list right now, go take notes.
Yeah, we've got some handy new stocking stuffers both at Best Buy and Home Depot. So if you want to support our work, that's the best way.
Nice. Okay. I want to ask you more about the repairs because I want to find out like your assessment of maybe the specifics of what would be the most common repairs, and let's see what we can find out about that. But first, I want to take a minute and talk about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is Coinbase. Cryptocurrency might feel like it's an exclusive club or some kind of secret that you're just not in on, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get a foot in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or you're just getting started, Coinbase is here to help. They offer a trusted, easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market, and they make them accessible to everyone. Coinbase offers portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your cryptocurrency all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, you're just getting started, or you really are just wanting a better way to access crypto markets, you can start today with Coinbase. And here's how. For a limited time, new users, who are my listeners, can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/TDO. coinbase.com/TDO. You will get $10 in free Bitcoin. All you have to do is sign up. $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is a limited time only, so make sure you sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TDO. I'd like to thank Coinbase for sponsoring the show today. Now, Kyle, when we talk about the most common repairs, like what would be the things that people are most likely to want to fix on an iPhone 12 and iPhone 13? Like the store's not there yet. So what is the kind of thing we may expect? Like they don't obviously list them, but I'm feeling like you have a good idea what common things there are to repair on an iPhone 12 and 13.
Sure. I mean, the number one thing that you're going to have to repair, it's not even really a repair, it's just maintenance, is the battery. Battery wear out, it's like the tires on your car, they're going to last a while and then you swap it. And hopefully your phone is going to last longer than its first battery.
Yeah.
So batteries, and then after that, it's screens. One kind of interesting repair that we're seeing a lot lately is people that have motorcycles have had to replace their cameras a lot. It turns out if you strap the camera, Apple issued a service bulletin on this the other day.
I just saw that.
Because the lens is stabilized with kind of little springs. And if you have your phone on the handlebar, the vibration of the engine actually like wears out those springs and they break. And your camera sags. So replacement camera modules are increasingly common.
Yeah. Interesting. So for a person, like kind of the other thing I want to find out is, like I know you said, go to iFixit and look at the guide and see if that's a thing that you feel confident doing. And since what we're talking about is a phone, and for most people, that's a big, important piece of their lives, and we want to make sure that it's still working when they're finished. What could you expect? Like, let's say it's time for the battery to get replaced, and I want to sit down and replace my battery. Like, sort of, what am I in for? I understand. Yes. Like, I know, I'm not people, but like in general, sure. People who want to do this, like, what are you signing up for? If you're like, yes, my phone needs a new battery.
Yeah, I mean, this is like following IKEA instructions. It's just a little bit smaller. So you've got step-by-step instructions in front of you. You've got two screws on the bottom, suction cup. You got to use a little bit of heat to loosen some adhesive around the screen, and then you pop the screen open. And then you can see everything inside. It's the kind of thing that it sounds really intimidating at first, but when you dive into it, once people remove the first screw, they overwhelmingly succeed.
Okay. All right. So as long as you have patience... And the right screwdriver,
it's patience,
obviously.
And following directions, keeping organized. You want to, you know, there's a lot of little tiny screws.
Yeah.
The iPhone in particular is designed to really prioritize making changing the battery and the screen really easy. So you don't have to take the whole phone apart. Where with a Samsung device, you have to take the whole thing apart to get to the screen. It's a significant disassembly. The iPhone is better designed from that perspective.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear it. I look forward to your teardown of their service manual because that's going to be a fun read to me. Is there anything else that people need to know aside from, have some patience and have, you know, a tray where all the screws live so they don't fall on the carpet. Aside from that, is there anything that you would want people to know about doing something like this or preparing for it or anything like that final thoughts, I guess.
I mean, part of it is just thinking about, like, you know, who would want to do a repair yourself. Sometimes you can do it to save money. Sometimes you do it because you just need to. You know, maybe you don't. There isn't an Apple store nearby. We have a lot of folks that live in rural areas where fixing it themselves is their only option.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's time sensitive, and you know, you spilled water on your thing, on spilled water on your laptop Friday night or something, and no one's gonna be able to work, you know, fix it till Monday, and you need it. You need a repair sooner than that.
Yeah.
Maybe you have security concerns about giving your device to anyone else, and you don't want it to ever leave your possession. There's a lot of good reasons for people doing repairs on their own.
Yeah. And it mostly just takes patience and maybe some good eyesight, some good lighting to make sure you're getting all the little screws out, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got a magnifying glass or something, yeah.
Yeah. I'm speaking from experience here. I have pretty good vision, and I still, like, I need a light that's on 100% and, you know, maybe a follow-up flashlight, like, from the side. Hold this here for a minute so I can make sure I got everything out of that or whatever. And it's been super helpful. So, yeah. If you're in my vicinity and need a battery replaced, let me know, I guess. And Kyle, let me, for people who maybe want to follow up, like, if you have questions for me, I'm happy to route them to Kyle. You can send them all the places you normally can, observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and by leaving comments in the show notes. Kyle, where can people find you?
Yeah, we are at iFixit on Twitter, and hit up iFixit and look up how to fix anything, whether it's your kitchen blender or, you know, we've got repair instructions for a broad spectrum of products, not just electronics. So the next time something breaks, don't despair. You can fix it yourself.
Yeah, I will say I've used stacks of manuals from there for all different sorts of things. Like my switch was just the latest in a series of, that's not working like it should. I'm going to go see if iFixit can help me find the thing to pull it apart so I can replace it and get that fixed. So,
definitely. I mean, my washing machine, like, stopped working. It just, like, stopped and was full, and I Google it. Oh, it's the switch on the door. That's easy. Absolutely. We're here to be helpful.
Yes, indeed. And I can vouch for that. It's pretty great. So Kyle, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate having you here.
Thanks for having me on.
And like I said, you could get a hold of us whenever you like through all the usual channels. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.